How well do you really understand your mobile phone plan, or your health insurance, or the tax schedule? Don't worry, even the smartest amongst us have trouble making rational comparisons, even if there's money to be saved. Professor Andrew Lee from the Australian National University has a brain the size of Greenland, but he's currently struggling with his gas tariff. Andrew joins us for our fortnightly Ryeside Economic Spot. Hello, Andrew.
G'day, Richard. How big is Greenland? I'm not quite sure.
It's a big place. Yes, it is. I believe it's the second largest island after Australia, so that's not bad. Now, schmearing and schmedgling, what are these things?
Well, in the real world, a schmear is a wonderful Yiddish word typically used to describe the way in which a large chunk of cream cheese spreads itself across a bagel. And so a big schmear of cream cheese is applied with a big knife and it really smooths itself across. Mm. And so the idea of schmearing is one which two economists, Jeff Liebman and Richard Zeckhauser, have taken up to describe the way in which we respond when we're faced with complicated multi-part schedules. And these are the kinds of schedules that face us all the time. So if you look at your utility bills, often your water will have one rate for the first amount and another rate for the next amount. Your mobile phone plan will be much more complicated. Tax systems, welfare systems. So Liebman and Zeckhauser say, well, it's a bit odd to start off with this economic notion that everyone has perfect information and fully understands these schedules. And we should realise that people probably approach them with rules of thumb, which may have more or less accuracy.
Right. Okay. So that's schmearing. Schmedgling. A lovely word. I think they've made that one up.
They have indeed. So a schmedule is a schmeared schedule.
Right. I see. Because they talk about a couple of things, ironing and spotlighting. Now, what are they?
That's right. So ironing is to take a sort of lumps in a schedule. So if you see that your mobile phone charges you more for calls made after 6 p.m., you might well sort of iron that out in a way in which you say, well, it costs more if I make mobile calls at night. And that's to sort of flatten the schedule. And then spotlighting is to focus on a particular part of the schedule and assume that assumption applies right across the board.
So an example of the ironing would be, you know, you get a rise and that puts you into a new tax bracket, but you perceive only kind of the average tax you pay to the point that you earn, not what you will pay on when you go forward from this point.
That's exactly right. So standard labour economics models would say if you want to know whether or not somebody is going to take an extra chunk of overtime, they should just consider their marginal tax rate. They're going to earn another $100 of overtime. Their marginal tax bracket is the 30% bracket. So they'll get to keep $70 of the $30. We actually have some evidence that many people don't approach the decision that way. Instead, they look at their entire tax bill. They say, well, you know, my average tax rate is something like 20 cents in the dollar. And so then maybe they may be more inclined to do the extra work because they think their tax rate is a little lower than it really is.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose the spotlighting is when you react to a local price or something more immediate and ignore the full schedule. So you, for example, you buy a bargain, but then you run out of money later in the month.
That's exactly right. Or maybe you see something that's on special a couple of times and then you just think that that's the kind of product that's always on special and you sort of by habit lock into to buying that product. And so one of the challenges for this whole area of behavioural economics and behavioural public finance is not to sort of go into the morass of saying, well, people make lots of mistakes, our models are useless. Models are very useful things. What they are simplifications of the real world that allow us to make important policy predictions. So we need models. The challenge is, can we tweak our models a little bit to try and sort of build in some of these systematic mistakes that people are making? Should we be modelling maybe their average tax rates? This matters a lot in the Australian welfare debate. We've switched the last decade or so, towards focusing very much on effective marginal tax rates. What this means is if an income support payment is withdrawn at, say, 70 cents in the dollar, then we say that it's a bit like that person faces a 70% tax rate. And we think that's a very high tax rate. It's a higher tax rate than the richest people in Australia are paying. And so we've worried a lot in policy terms about getting down these effective marginal tax rates. What Schmedgeling suggests is maybe the income support recipients are not thinking about it that way. Maybe they're sort of thinking more in a kind of rule of thumb sense. I have this amount of income support. If I work more, I'm going to lose some of it, but I'm just not quite sure how much of it. And then they're sort of making rule of thumb balancing acts on this. It might be that the level of the benefits matters more than the marginal tax rates, for example.
On Life Matters today, it's Rightside Economics, which we do every second Thursday with Andrew Lee, who's Professor of Economics at the Australian National University. And we are talking about this schmearing and schmedgeling, new ideas to me, but basically are about the way we tackle complex information and try and have a sort of stab at it. How good are we? When we do this, you know, this sort of kind of approach, I call it, do we usually get it pretty right, or are we bad at it?
Well, we're more likely to get it right if the schedule stays constant and our life situation stays constant. So if you look, for example, at the way in which we'll call them mature age workers, workers who are eligible for public pensions, respond to the benefit phase out, to the pension phase out when they start working, it looks like they're responding almost exactly the way our economic models say that they ought to. That's probably because this is a group of people for whom their life situation is pretty stable and the policy isn't changing. When we look at income support recipients who tend to have more volatile family circumstances, they're more likely to be moving in and out of relationships and in and out of jobs, and the policies themselves change much more often. I mean, we change our welfare policies all the time, whereas we're much more reluctant to change policies on the elderly. Then it looks like income support recipients are actually making many more systematic errors, if you like, which, no, I don't regard this is saying that income support recipients are stupid in any sense. They're just allocating their time sensibly. They're deciding they have better things to do than understand the welfare payment schedule. And so they're going to schmear that schedule. They're going to take a simple schmedgeling approach. And the challenge for policy is to say, well, how are they doing this and how should we adjust our models accordingly?
And this of course, matters right across the tax system. It's very complicated. I think we have one of the highest uses of tax agents in the world. Ken Henry and his review team are tackling this at the moment. But what do we get wrong when we're trying to work this out?
Well, I think one of the reasons why three quarters of us need professional help to file our tax return is just that we have steadily tacked on small reforms to the tax system, which each taken individually seem to make sense. But when we look at the totality of them, we add them up, we've ended up with a sort of thicket of rules, much tougher tax filing system than, for example, in the US, which has a one-page tax return. And I think perhaps we need to sort of face the policy challenge of saying, well, each of these reforms are worthy and sensible in themselves, but when we've got too many of them, we may well create a tax system which is too complicated, and of course the costs of that complexity fall largely on the poorest in society. So if you dropped out of high school, you're less likely to be able to correctly understand the income tax schedule and take advantage of all of the special deductions that are in there than if you have the money and the resources to sit down and study it for a couple of days or to pay a professional to help you through it.
Actually, one of my little themes has been that choice can be a bit of a burden. It's clear that simplified choice has quite a bit to recommend it, not just personally, but from a public policy point of view.
That's absolutely right. So I'm the father of a two-year-old, and it took me a while to realise that when I was getting him to choose his T-shirt in the morning, it was not optimal to allow him to walk up to the cupboard, look at the 15 T-shirts there and choose the one he wanted to wear during the day. This was a painful five-minute process, not just painful for me, but painful for him, just trying to work out which one he liked. So now I pick two T-shirts, I hold them up in front of him, and he happily chooses one of those two T-shirts. And it may be that we want to take more of that sort of approach to public policy questions like choice of superannuation. We may want to sort of simplify many of the choices people make. 9 out of 10 people don't take advantage of super choice. So perhaps we should be more aggressive from a public policy viewpoint in making sure that people are put into good defaults and then that the choices that they face are as simple as possible.
How much does this all help you with your gas bill?
Well, with my gas bill, I don't know what my gas schedule is. I sort of schmear it. I know if I use a lot of gas, then I'm going to pay a higher rate for those last few units. And I guess if we were trying to model my gas consumption, it might be useful actually to start off doing a bit of a survey and finding out whether the way in which I think about my gas consumption is similar to the way in which many others think about their gas consumption, or whether, you know, gas consumption is one of those things where the schedule is pretty stable and actually people are behaving more like the standard full information rational model would tell us.
Well, that's something else that you can do in your evenings, I think, Andrew.
Study my gas bill. Thank you, Richard. That's wonderful homework for next time.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Andrew Lee, Professor of Economics at the Australian National University. More Ryside Economics in a fortnight. And interesting today to find a small chink in his intellectual armour. Not quite sure of how big Greenland is. Very large. Don't forget, you can listen to this interview at any time on the Life Matters website. It's available about an hour after initial broadcast. You'll find it at abc.net.au/rn/lifematters.